Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
And I was thinking about friends that I grew up with in church. We all went to the same church together. We all heard the same messages. We heard the same teachings. And yet, as we've gotten older, I find it a little bit disheartening that some of them maybe are not believing the same thing that I believe anymore. Is it possible that you can grow up in the church, maybe be involved in things, but not have fully really given your heart to the Lord? And I know the moment you begin to question salvation, then there's like a whole nother conversation that takes place. But I just want to focus for a moment on that question. Is it possible for somebody to experience the power of God, for somebody to see amazing things and believe in Jesus, but not really give him their whole heart? It not only is it possible, the Bible warns about this over and over. And we see in today's passage in Acts chapter 9, a man named Simon, who on good authority from early church fathers, such as Justin Martyr and Irenaeus, that he began to spread false teachings, or what they called heresies. And again, we don't get this out of the Bible. We kind of get this from history. But these, I believe, are historical sources that we can trust. And I wanted to see, how does somebody become a false teacher? How does that happen, right? Somebody just one day decide, I think I'm going to make money off this God thing. That's what we're going to do. I don't think so. But this gives us a little insight into what happens. And then what we've got to watch out for. But let's take a look first at Acts chapter 9. It says, chapter 8, verse 9. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him from least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power of God. That is called great. And the word in the Greek, great, that's mega. And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip, and seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give me this power, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Anybody see something wrong there? You think? But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered, pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. Now, this is kind of interesting, isn't it? Hey, that's really cool. Give that to me. I'll pay you some money. And then, of course, Peter says stuff. The last time Peter said something, people fell dead, right? Last time Peter gave a stern warning, but he said he even had It's this compassion for Simon. Hey, you need to repent. You need to change your ways. What you're doing is very dangerous. Now, the people wrongly assigned the works that Simon did to God. Not everything supernatural in this world is of God. Not everything that we see or are amazed by necessarily comes from the Holy Spirit. We know that from several places, even in Revelation 13, other places in the Bible, we know that Satan can do counterfeit miracles. We know that he can appear as an angel of light. And so it's very important that Christians don't get caught up in superstition and all these kind of things, and we start mixing that stuff up with our faith. But people practice magic. And it doesn't say it was like the Chris Angel David Copperfield kind of magic, you know, it was an illusion. But I don't think it was so much that. It was sorcery. There were, they had shamans, they had witch doctors, whatever, in all kinds of different villages and all kinds of cultures back in those days. So this was no big deal. Simon, I'm sure he made a lot of money. Because people would, right? People would lift him up. And I'm sure he had a lot of money. He had a lot of gifts that he had gotten from people in the village. But Simon had a reputation for people looking up to him. And all of a sudden, here comes the gospel being preached. Jesus, Philip's talking about Jesus. People are following Jesus, getting baptized in Jesus' name. And what? They're walking away from Simon. He's going, wait a minute. What happened to my congregation? All of a sudden, everybody left. No, we're not doing the magic thing anymore. We've got Jesus. He's the real thing. Amen? And so they leave. And so you can imagine this bitterness welling up within him, this jealousy, this envy, going, oh, what is going on here? But also, to be fair, a little bit of interest. Hey, that does look pretty cool. I think I'll believe in Jesus too. You're getting baptized? I'll get baptized too. And he's following around. He's shadowing Peter. Yeah, hear that term in leadership, shadowing. So he's shadowing Peter. He's following Peter around. You know, or I think, was he following Peter or following Philip? Well, basically, he's following all these guys around, observing what they're doing. Now, Peter and John, they come down. They lay hands on them. These guys are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And obviously, when that happened, that's when he asked, hey, can I purchase this? You got to know that something visible happened to people when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, yeah? It changes you. It changes the kind of person you are. And we weren't told what that was. But I just look at that and I think, man, you know, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit as Christians, the world ought to look at us and go, oh, what they have, it's worth paying every penny I've got to get it. You know, I want it that bad. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, changes our life like that. What is Simon's error, though? Simon's error is thinking God's power is a way to make money, right? It's a means of financial gain. Now, Peter warned about false teachers. In fact, he writes a couple letters, 1 and 2 Peter, and he says this. On 2 Peter 2, 1 through 2, he says, but false prophets arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. You know what that means? False teachers come what? Out from among the believers, out from among the church. They don't come from the outside. They come from the inside. See, the devil tries to defeat the church in two ways. Persecution, that is, from the outside. Now, if he can't defeat the church through persecution, you know, because the church continues to spread and grow, then he tries to attack the church from the inside through division and things like false teachers. And false teachers teach what are called heresies. Heresies are false teachings meant to divide the body of Christ. That's what it literally means in the Greek, to have disunity. And that's what happens. That's what a heresy is. Heresy is really, really bad. So it says they will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, that's Jesus, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality, and maybe underline that sensuality, I'll explain that in a minute, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. What is the word blaspheme? It's like a curse. You're cursing, right? Blasphemy is like cursing. So the curse that the legit church, right? They're getting, and don't we see that today? We have false teachers out there making this all this noise, and they go, "That's the real church." No, that's not the real church. And we who were genuinely following the Lord get the black eye. So that's what false teachers do. 2 Peter 2:18-19. And again, if you did grab a bulletin, I hope you did, because if you didn't grab the bulletin, you don't have the scripture notes to take with you. And I hope you grab that. For speaking loud boast of folly, they entice by sensual passions, again, there's that word, of the flesh, those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. So these guys are just getting over, like, just trying to get out of sin, and then here comes the false teacher dragging them back in, right? Verse 19, they promise them freedom. Check this out. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. Whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. You cannot serve two masters. Either Jesus is your master or sin is your master. And the Bible uses this language of slavery. The Apostle Paul uses that a lot as well. So some sources, again, some historical sources believe Simon, they call him Simon Magus. Again, mega means great. Simon Magus was the start of, he started Gnosticism and some of these other teachings. And then he had his disciples. But we know that the gospel is not just a way to make money. Amen? But we do see that, don't we? We do see that. I'm sorry, but if you got a pastor that's got, tons of million-dollar homes and things like that, maybe there's a little heart check, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with being paid a salary, reasonable and stuff. That's fine. I am, and I'm thankful that you guys are faithful to do this. Thank you, Lord. But who needs all that money? But you see that, don't you? And you see it on TV, right? And all the scams and the shams. And, oh, we shouldn't judge them. No, you should. You should be going, yeah, I don't know their relationship with the Lord, but what they're doing, that's kind of wrong. And we got to get away from it, right? Run away. Now, yeah, it's like, I need a new jet. My jet needs new carpet. I don't know. Yeah, you've heard that. That was legitimately, like one of these guys said, if you just send an offering because, I need to recarpet my jet. Did he really just say recarpet his jet? Anyways. Now, notice this word sensuality. That could also be translated licentiousness. What that word is they encourage sensuality. That's the belief that the sins of the body, drunkenness, sexual immorality, etc., it's okay and it's covered by the grace of God. In other words, Jesus died so I can sin, not Jesus died to save me from sin. You guys think that's new? It's not. That teaching's been around for 2,000 years. It always comes up in different forms. It's real popular today. It is popular because, like, oh, I can just believe in Jesus and not really change my life. Yeah. No. That's a false teaching, right? And so let's throw out holiness and all that. And then the Apostle Paul, again, do your study on your own. There's a lot that he has to say on that, especially in Romans. So the thing about the false teachers is they helped enslave people to sin. Again, if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not serving God, we're living in sin, we're not living effective lives. If we're not living effective lives, the gospel isn't preached. If the gospel isn't preached, people's lives aren't changed, right? So we want to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Anybody want to be transformed? Amen? I want to be changed by God. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to remain the same. And so they help people to be enslaved to sin. Now, bitterness, notice that Peter said, you are in the gall of bitterness. It's kind of a weird word, that gall is bile. That's that green. Yeah, just think of gall as, okay? It's just gross, but this poison. Another way is to say, you're poisoned with bitterness, Simon. You have a bad attitude. You have a bitterness in you. And this is the way false teachers usually will start. Now, somebody did something to them wrong, and they're like, no, I'm going to reinterpret the Bible myself, and they go off and they start their whole new thing. But people get sucked into the false teachings often through bitterness. If you're holding something against somebody in the church or a leader, or you're holding something against an organization or whatever it is, or it's not a person, you have that bitterness in you. That bitterness is like a little hook the devil's got in you, and he can just pull that hook anytime. You don't want to hold on to bitterness. You want to let go of it. The reason being is unforgiveness. You know, someone has hurt you in your life. Again, you might have had a bad experience. Maybe it was in church. Maybe it was just, maybe it didn't have anything to do with church, but maybe it was growing up. But you hold that bitterness, you hold unforgiveness towards somebody. And what it does is it creates kind of an open pathway for you to accept false teaching. You know what? I can't believe that church and what they did. I'm tired. I'm not going to go to those churches anymore. Fine. I'm just going to do what I want. And then it says in Timothy that people like that, they'll gather false teachers around themselves and they'll look for somebody who says something that's what they want to hear. And that will validate their bitterness, will validate, oh, okay, good. All right, I don't have to do all that nonsense. And then they get led off. They get led astray. So bitterness is a dangerous thing. Again, it comes through disappointment. But it makes you, it's bait. It's like you're putting that bait out there for false teachers. To get you put yourself in a position to be deceived easily. So you don't want to hold bitterness. You don't want to hold anger and things like that. It said not only that Simon was bitter, but that he was in bondage to iniquity. And iniquity is another way. So he was in bondage to sin. And then notice, did you notice he said, pray for me? Not, okay, I'm going to pray. Lord, I repent of my sins. No, he didn't repent. He didn't repent. He said, well, you pray for me. You ever have somebody tell you that? Oh, you know, you're a religious person. Yeah, you know, you say a prayer for me at church. Well, you know, you can pray yourself, right? Oh, no. You pray for me. You know, that's good, but that's not how it works. You need to pray and receive Jesus. Amen? But Simon, he was like, nah, you pray for me. Because Simon was not ready to give up his old life. He was not ready to repent. He was not ready to turn around and give up his old ways, his old habits, his whatever he had going on. He liked his life. He wanted to preserve his life. And so we see, really from this, the idea that you can be enslaved, you can be in bondage. See that board bond or in bonds to iniquity. It's kind of like a picture. You guys have seen these movies, right, where people are shackled. Well, you've seen somebody, have you ever gone to court? Yeah, I've been in court before. I won't go into those details. It was me. I've seen people where, you know, they got a shackle, right, that goes between they got your legs cuffed, and they give you a little chain, you know, and they have a little chain, you know, you have your handcuffs, but, you know, you walk like this, right? There's not a lot of freedom of movement. You're kind of restricted. Okay, turn here. Okay. And they walk everybody and go, okay, do this. All right. And what happens is that we can go two ways in this life. We can be in bondage. We can be enslaved to sin. Or we can be slaves of righteousness as bonded to Jesus, right? We can go one or two ways. And as choices really ours. And it's not something you can do on your own. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to surrender to him to come into your life. You need to give up. You can't be like Simon. You got to be like, Lord, come into my life. I'm tired of living. I'm tired of holding this bitterness, this anger. Because that's what enslaves you. You can believe in Jesus. You can believe in Jesus. But if you have hate in your heart, hate is your master. You can believe in Jesus and come to church every Sunday, but if you have lust, lust is your master. If you continually have anger, that anger is your master that you serve. If you continually have jealousy or envy or whatever it is, that is your master. If you have greed and you just love money, money is your master. And Jesus said, you cannot serve money and me. Right? Now we have, count them, put them on the rolls. We count the birds and everything. So whatever sin you're dealing with, whatever is habitual, right, whatever you're struggling with, And again, if it's just a constant thing, yeah, that can be your, that can master you. And what the Holy Spirit does is it frees you. Now, it doesn't make it easy. It's not an automatic thing. It's not like there's this light switch. Okay, I was doing this light switch. It's all gone. I no longer have these urges, these passions, these desires. I'm not mad anymore. I'm just jelly, right? Jelly is jealous now, right? I'm sorry. I can't keep up with slang. Getting too old for that nonsense. I'm like, I can't keep up. I don't even try. But, you know, you don't just change like that overnight, but you need, it's a constant battle because you have what we call the flesh, that is that part of you that likes to sin. And then you have the spirit, is that part of you that's like, yes, I want to follow God, you stupid flesh, right? And so, you know, and how do I have the strength to subdue or to have those desires to do things against God and have the power to live in a right way? And this is how you do it. It's not a secret, but it's work. It is when you have the scriptures. Now, I don't know how good you are at memorizing. I can memorize things, but sometimes if you can't memorize a scripture, memorizing, meditation, kind of the same thing. If you have scriptures, you know, that talk about that. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Whenever you're tempted, maybe you've got to put it on a 3x5 card and put it in your purse, and you pull that out of your purse. Well, I don't have a purse, but you might have a purse. Not you. Some of you have a purse. But you pull that out, and you're thinking, wow, you know, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Thank you, Jesus. You wake up in the middle of the night, and there's just some temptation, some desire, something overwhelms you, and you're going, what in the world is that? And then you go to your Bible, you go to your card or wherever you written your scripture, maybe you put it near your bedside, and you're like, no. You know, it's like, my eyes shall not look upon anything vile, right? That's in Job. And so you put that scripture, you get it into your heart. But see, people say, and it's not a legalistic thing, people say daily or whatever is going to help you to fight off the flesh, because you need the word of God to basically beat that thing to death and go, no, I am dead to this. I am dead to the sin. But you need the word of God to help you. And you also need prayer. You need prayer. This prayer is coming before God. Say, Lord, I feel so bitter towards this person right now. I feel so much anger. And God, I know it's wrong. But Lord, I love you more, and I know it's wrong, and I can't serve you the way I want to serve you because I'm holding this thing in my heart. So Lord, in faith, I'm not in feelings, in faith, even though I'm feeling one way, in faith, I'm believing in your word. And Lord, right now, I repent of this before you and ask for you to forgive me of this sin. And I know that I walk in your spirit, because where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I am freed now. I am no longer a slave to sin. Amen? So there is a way to do this. And I have had victory with it. It's not always been perfect. And sometimes that little feelings, they come up again. And they can come up again. Those feelings of lust, or the feeling of anger or bitterness or whatever. Because, you know, we with the power of God forget, but the devil loves to remind, right? He's like, remember this? No? What's that? Right? In Jesus' name, no. I am forgetting what is behind, and I am moving forward to what is ahead of me. Amen? But it does take effort. It does take prayer. It does take getting in the Word. You know? I wish it was a light switch. I wish, you know, the feelings I had as a young man, you know, and giving my heart to God, that I just turned on a switch. Whoop, all right, good. I only desire to serve the Lord. No, the Lord doesn't make these robots. We're real flesh and blood people with real struggles. And he loves us anyways. And he says, come to me. Oh, man, I still have feelings like this and that. And I still struggle with this. He said, we'll fix that. We'll get to that. But come to me now. Come to me now, and I'll give you strength that you need. But our strength is daily. It's like drawing water from a well, right? And Jesus says, I am living water. So we draw from the Lord. He says, I am the bread of life. And we go, wow, I need to chew on Jesus. I need to take in the bread of life. I need to take in the water of the Spirit. And this is why he talked in these metaphors, because it is a daily walk with him. Because we know when we're not walking and we start struggling more, right? Is this good? This is just the practical everyday of living out our faith. And I'm no better than you guys. It's just, but this is the reality. People that say that, wow, this Christianity is just a light switch, just automatic. He puts you in a big Jesus bubble and you'll never have problems ever again. Really? Really? No. But he helps us through the issues of life. He helps us through the problems. Amen? But the lesson, and we'll just close with this today, really, is that we can be free if we surrender to the Holy Spirit. But it takes faith. We have to believe. We have to stop listening to the lies in our heads, and we have to believe that God, through the Holy Spirit that was within us, has given us all power that we will ever need to overcome anything in our lives. Let's believe that.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless and have a great week in the Lord.